This is a Business's Mission podcast. Business's Mission. I'm Gaia Bort, your host.
The transition from living for God to living with Him. It's not complicated, but it's life-changing.
In this podcast series, we are seeking kingdom keys for business, life, and work. What can unlock the fullness of life promised by God in our daily lives, on the work floor? Bill Job is my co-host. He is an experienced Business's Mission entrepreneur and had several businesses in China. He learned to align his work with God and saw God's tangible involvement. What keys did he discover? So we'll learn from Bill, but we also invite guests from around the world. What are their stories? How do they see God move? May these conversations inspire you to see God and to expect His involvement in your daily working life. Well, thank you for joining us today. Well, it's good to be back with all of you. And today we have here in the studio Walter Aandeweel, right?
That's correct. Yes. Pleasure to be here.
Yes, it's a Dutch name. And Bill, it's really good to see you too.
Thank you. Hey, it's really great to be back and so looking forward to getting into Walter's story today.
Walter, you are from the Netherlands. We actually have been in the same church a long time ago.
Yes, and I was a little kid.
And you have a business serving people in Africa called Savi. Can you share a bit? What is this business all about?
Yeah, so with Savi, we provide stock financing. So in Kenya, where we operate, but also in other developing countries, you have a lot of these very small shops which provide all of these goods into the country. So shops that are sometimes not even more than 1 square meter, but it's the lifeline for a lot of people, so small entrepreneurs. And we help them to buy their stocks on credit from their formal suppliers. And the issue that we're solving is basically that normally these shops don't have any credit, so they just have to pay cash on delivery. They don't know any invoicing system like we know here in the Netherlands, for example. You invoice to a business and you just automatically get a 30-day credit term and you trust that the other party is going to pay that invoice. But the trust is lacking in the context where we work, and therefore everything needs to be paid on delivery, which is causing a lot of inefficiencies in those value chains. And those little shops, they now have to pay cash on delivery, so they go to the market every day, get a little bit of stock for their shop, to close their shop in that meantime. Most women are owning these shops, so they have to walk through the streets, which is kind of dangerous, with these products back to their shop and then sell it off. And then the next day they have to go through that again. So what we do is providing financing to them so they can actually buy from their supplier in bulk. So they do an order, for example, once a week. And now because they can do bulk orders, they get discounts because of the volumes are higher, but also they get the privilege of being delivered. So the products are now delivered to the shop because they do a bigger order. And that really helps them to grow their shop and to sell more, but also be more efficient in that. So they get more income out of that shop for their families.
Walter, what I found interesting, we had a bit of pre-talk, or actually this I read online, that when I think of, you know, this is an IT solution, and when I think of IT, it's not relational. And you said, you know, I read, well, we put something relational in here, because in Kenya, it's all about relationships. And when people borrow from an app, they are thinking, well, why should I pay back? But when there is a relation, so can you explain to someone like me who is kind of not an IT specialist?
Yeah.
And I guess some of our listeners neither. Can IT be relational?
Yeah. So what we've developed is a model which we call tech and touch. So there's the tech element, but there's also the human touch element. And we've seen a lot of others trying it purely with tech. And those default rates on those loans were very high because of this element of relationship, which is very important in the culture and the context. And so what we do, we have developed a model whereby we work very closely with those big distributors in Kenya. They already have people, salespeople on the ground. These salespeople go to these markets. They visit these shops on a weekly basis. They deliver the goods there. They get new orders from those shops. So there is some kind of relationship between this seller and buyer, so to say. And we leverage basically on that relationship. So now there's sales reps from that seller, they sell our product. So they go into the shop, they already know the shop owner, sometimes even for years, and they say, you can now buy from us, but on credit with our partner, Sevi. And then we come in, they download our app, they go through that process of opening an account, fully automated. We've developed an AI machine learning model that's then giving a credit rating to that little shop based on the available data that we have. And then automatically they get a credit limit, and then they can start trading with that supplier. So we leverage on the relationship, which is already there between the seller and the buyer. And then we add our own touch element as well. So we visit each and every shop before they can start trading. So we visit them, we ask them some questions, get some more data from them to estimate the credit risk, basically.
So you are solving the individual, because in those countries, right, it's hard to get credit. Yeah, you know more. So what is the normal way they get credit?
Yeah, so either they don't get credit or they get it through like Shylocks, is what they call them. So it's informal or illegal credit and very high interest rates and manners which are not so ethical in how they collect the money again as well. So basically they become kind of enslaved to that Shylock and getting those loans and repaying those loans. So we provide a justice and righteous product, basically, which is ethical. And the fees are very low, lowest in the market currently. And also our ways of working is, of course, a very friendly manner. So that's completely different than what they are currently used to.
I see you smile, Bill. What are you thinking when you hear Walter share his story?
Well, one of the values that I haven't heard him mention specifically is that I think this is providing an incredible business education to the clients. They may not have even really known what credit actually was or how it's supposed to work, and they may have surrendered to their conditions, which are being very poor, very difficult, very challenging, but just accepted that as normal. But by giving them credit, getting a credit rating, getting all of that established, there's this incredible education process that goes on. And I'm assuming if they have a period of time of really good payoff rates, they can build a higher credit rating. They could possibly expand their business from, you know, one startup level to the next step up and begin to eventually be able to hire people as well. But I'm just fascinated by what people believe and don't believe about the business function and the business system. And so I'm just delighted to hear this, because I feel like it's the entrance of a kind teacher coming into a person's path who can not only provide a service, but also provide everything they need to know to grow the business basically without end. Am I on base or off base? On track or off track?
No, on track. Yeah, that's what we do. And indeed, so I went to one of these shops and he was saying, like, before Sevi came in, I only had these two shelves with products. And now I have my full shop completely packed with products. And I now have seven shelves. So that's how he calculated and communicated his growth. And then he was talking about, I want to now expand to a second shop. So indeed, that growth mindset and helping them understand how to grow is part of our product. And it's actually something that we have on the roadmap to develop even further, like a growth tool, how we call it, within our mobile app. So they get practical tips on a daily basis on how to grow their shops going forward.
I just was at an investment gathering where Oxano presented. And there I heard that in Africa, there is the big, you know, there are the people on the street selling their stuff. And it's the big internationals, but the whole middle class is so lacking. And it's so needed to, you know, to grow a healthy economy.
Absolutely. No, that's correct. Yeah. So we basically sit right in between that. So the little shops that we offer, those are the very informal shops. Most of them aren't even registered. That's just like one person owning that shop and making an income from that. And then we sit between that shop and then the SMEs. So those middle class companies which provide the products to these shops. And we basically make that transaction between those two on a trust base.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also what I learned is that there was quite a journey towards, what, a 20, 30 year journey since, you know, I saw you as a teenager, as a kid in the church, that you already knew from quite an early age that you would be involved in Africa. What? How come? What happened?
Yeah, so I think I was around 7 or 8, and I was on a conference called Opwekking, Revival in English. It's a conference here in the Netherlands, and I was there as in the kid program, and that's when I got my first prophecy. Basically, somebody prophesying over me, you are going to work in Africa. And then later on, some other people shared those same pictures. My mom got a dream about it. So several people confirming that on a very young age. But when you're young and you think about Africa and you are raised in a church, automatically you think of missionary work. So I always had this thinking I will become a missionary when I grow up. And so throughout my teenage years, I was always looking around, what kind of missionary organization can I work with? What fits my profile? What's God saying in this? But never found an organization, or never found God saying, this is it, or go for this. So the other thing that he said is go to university and start studying, which wasn't my plan, but that's what he wanted. So I went to university and I studied industrial design, engineering, and innovation management. And basically, because I had the idea when I entered that study throughout an open day, just like God was saying, use this to design products for the future, for helping improve the lives of people in Africa. And so I started my study in that, did my internship in Kenya. And then throughout that study, I traveled to Kosovo a lot with Soul Survivor. I had youth trips there. So I led those youth trips there after the war. So we went there after the war, and those first years was really rebuilding the country, rebuilding houses, all the practical work that you do. And then it went more into like trauma recovery work. So doing a lot of things with kids camps, and a lot of entertainment and those things to help them get through that hard time. And then the last years I went there, so I went there 7 years in a row, but those last 2 years, what we went doing was actually setting up very small businesses. So helping those widows who lost their husband in the war, get their own income again from a small business, like owning a cow, setting up a small cookies factory, a bakery, all those very small things, but they could earn an income from that. And what I saw in the eyes of those widows was dignity. So they could provide for their families themselves again, instead of holding up their hands to get funding from donations. And I really felt this was a significant change in my mindset. So I really saw the change in those women's lives because of those small businesses. And that's when I started a trajectory where I've always been involved in setting up businesses which make an impact on people's lives. First, in a very small manner. So I started a company which set up a lot of small businesses in Africa and India, but all on a very small scale. And then I entered Envio, an organization here in the Netherlands. And that's where I learned to think more on a scalable way. So how can you start a business which is scalable? And by the scalability of that business, the impact also scales with it. And when I learned that, after that, I joined some organizations, impact funds, to start some accelerators and really helped other startups to scale. So I was always in this position of helping others, setting up businesses, impact businesses, and initiating those. And then in 2018, and that's when God said, okay, now it's time to do it yourselves. So that's when I felt to stop all the other things and start Sevi.
So Bill, when you hear this, aren't you envious? I mean, here you had to do this whole learning curve by yourself in China.
I am a little bit envious, but so the thought came to me, I'm a little envious of the Lord having Walter line up with him from such an early age and have the Lord's plans on his radar. And so he was able to take advantage of the various seasons of training and education. And so there was quite a lot of training involved, but it seems like it was natural and not effortless, but it was sort of obvious opportunities that he took, and so glad that he did. Mine was sort of being dumped into a very different culture, and I didn't know anything about what we were doing, so it was a more painful education. But I'm really delighted that Walter's was actually stimulated from very early on, and I'd love for him to just try to encourage some of our listeners who may be thinking that God is nudging them to go do something, but it's outside of their normal, you know, operational comfort zone. It's outside of the box, as we say, and they may be hesitant to step out and try to explore that and just see if Walter couldn't, from his story, encourage them that the kingdom does involve risk at sooner or later, and you'll need to be able to take that. So could you do that, Walter?
Yeah, definitely. So I remember that time when I just started venturing out in this area of business and impact. And back in those days, you only had like NGOs. NGOs were helping people and they were making impact on people. And then you had businesses and those were commercial and they couldn't do anything good, right? And so those two didn't work together in those times, which is about 20, 25 years ago. There wasn't that collaboration that you currently see between those two. And so when I started doing this, there was a lot of resistance from the normal so-called impact companies, organizations, like NGOs. And yeah, we just pushed forward and really believed this was an opportunity to bring an impact in people's lives through business. And now years later, you see that a lot more companies embrace that same line of thought and they're doing it. And then of course, the other way, other time when I really had to take a risk was when God said in 2018, so he said like the supporting wheels, I'm not sure if that's the right English word, but when you're small and you learn how to bike, you have these supporting wheels, right? So God was saying the supporting wheels are coming off.
Yeah. We are a biking country, right? Exactly. Here in the Netherlands.
So when God said like the supporting wheels are getting off, that's when I felt I just need to step out of those roles where I've been supporting others, but now I have to do it myself. And that's when I started Savvy in those days.
Supporting others, but also had a stable income, right?
Yeah. So letting go of that was quite a big step. Yeah.
So that was 2019. What happened since?
Yeah. So I started Savvy together with my business partner. So he's from the IT sector. And so together we built this company. And in 2019, we ventured out into building this platform for microfinance institutions in Kenya to provide their credits in a digital manner, which went quite well. So we had two banks using our platform, 2019 and 2020. I went to Kenya. We had a whole forum with a lot of microfinance organizations who wanted to join our platform. And then 3 weeks later, COVID hit in March 2020 and everything basically stopped. So we lost all our clients, which we had. So we had a platform, but we didn't have any customers anymore. So then you basically don't have a business. So we then started exploring other ways we could use this platform in a new market, a whole new context when COVID hit. And finally, 2021, we came to this model that we're currently doing, which is stock financing. We really saw that this could add a lot of value in that new context in the market, where all these shops really had a hard time in staying alive. And that's when we started to introduce this product. And then 21, 22, 23, it grew quite well. And we had a good time throughout that period. And then 2024, it all of a sudden started growing very, very fast. So we had that exponential growth curve. And so because of that, we needed to raise some extra money. But I thought that's going to be easy because we have this growth curve. We can show to investors and every investor wants to see that. But the opposite was actually true. So it was a very difficult time. The market just was not in favor of us. So there were a lot of things in the market happening why investors were just taking a step back and not be so willing to invest at that time. So I've talked to many, many investors, but most of them were like, okay, it's very good what you do. It's super nice to see that growth curve, but talk to us next year. But for us, there was no next year. We wouldn't raise the money, right? So we needed that money before end of the year to continue business.
Because at this time, how many people were working for you, Walter?
So then we had about 70 people on payroll. That's quite a responsibility that I felt indeed to keep the company alive, as well as for our customers, of course, that we're serving on a weekly basis. So yeah, that was a big responsibility and I felt that pressure really pressing down on me. So end of last year was a hard time and yeah, we were really struggling to see through the tunnel, to see the light at the end of the tunnel basically. And then I went to the BAM conference in November.
For our listeners, Business as Mission, we have a yearly conference in November. So you were there doing a pitch, right?
Yeah, so I was invited to pitch in the Lion's Den, as they call it, and to pitch my company there for the whole audience. And that was a great opportunity, of course. And when I was finished with my pitch, actually the presenter asked me to stay on the platform. He said, let's just pray for this. And then the whole room all the entrepreneurs in that room, they started praying together with the presenter for our business and for a breakthrough. So that was quite a special moment for us, and really helped us also to go forward again. So then Christmas came, and we're still looking, and we still had to raise that money. And then just before
there. So there was no big breakthrough at that time. There was no you pitch. There was not someone with a big bucket of money for you. There was prayer, but
exactly.
What did you think through that time? How do you survive through a year like this? And, you know, here you talk all happily about, you know, yeah, that was that time.
No, I wasn't so happy that time. So it was really hard. So yeah, it was a lot of times that you just don't see how to get through this. And especially when you get a no, you just have to build yourself up again, right? And just get that confidence, energy back to talk to the next one. And if you get a lot of no's, that becomes harder and harder.
And I also liked what you shared, you know, in our pre-talk. You said the only thing you can, you know, what is kind of makes sense to ask the Lord is there something you want to teach me?
Exactly.
I like that remark. So what did you feel God was saying to you, Walter?
Yeah, so I felt in a time where things weren't happening and there was no breakthrough, I was like, okay, at least I should learn something from this. At least it's not a waste of time and energy here. So I asked the Lord, what is it that you want to teach me, actually? And then what he said was enduring faith. So it's not the best answer you want to hear in that situation, but in the end, looking back in hindsight, you realize it's important to, and you can only learn those things through those periods of time. So I was really happy that God actually helped me to keep the faith, constantly go back to him in my silent time, just talk with him and feel that he is going to do it, don't know when, but going to do it. And that kept my faith alive. Yeah.
So can you identify, Bill?
Oh, yes. Very, very different sort of context, but very similar problems. It's like, Lord, if you don't show up, then your company is going to suffer real consequences. And so there's this drawing into his dependency on him. But it's a very real experience, isn't it, Walter? It's not theoretical. It's you have people that are depending, and their children are depending, and grandparents are depending, and you step into the business world, and now a lot really depends on the continuation of the operation.
Yeah, absolutely. Hmm. Well, so I think also your workshops at the BUMP conference really helped me to start expressing it in a way like you just did. So before that time, I was praying, like, God, help me to survive my business and help my business and all those kinds of prayers. But in that time when you were preaching and sharing those words and examples and testimonies from your own life, I realized, yeah, if I give this company to the Lord, I actually should start using other words. So it's not my company, but it's his company. And using that different vocabulary really helped me to change the mindset as well. So so thanks for that.
Absolutely.
Well, you say change your mindset, but what does that look like in real life when you have a changed mindset like that?
Yeah, I don't know if I have it, but I'm learning. It's getting there. So constantly I have to...
What is the result of a changed mindset like that?
Yeah, and so I constantly need to remind myself to talk differently. So I use that different language and remind myself it's indeed is his company. He initiated, he told me to start it. So giving it back to him, but also asking him in words like, okay, God, your company is really suffering. What are you going to do about it? Or God, your company needs new clients. Which doors are you going to open? So that really helps to change that mindset from carrying everything yourself and feeling that pressure that everything is on you as an entrepreneur, as the leader of the company, you have to do it. But now, you know, there's someone who's much greater and bigger than you are, is actually carrying it. And the answers don't always come immediately, like words, or you have to do this, you have to do that. But that mindset that he's actually the owner of the company really helps to get that relief and not feel that strong burden on yourself.
Yeah, so you are also following the training we developed, Kingdom Mindsets for Business. Are there some other things that you picked up from the times we had or from that material?
Yeah, so one of the main examples that Bill gave us on that carrying, so the example of the yoke and the idea of that yoke is, at least in my mindset, was, okay, I have to carry a yoke, and then God is carrying a yoke, and then together we are yoked, and we both carry something at least. But then in the examples that Bill was giving as well, is that, okay, God is actually carrying that yoke, and I can just abide in God and be with him, but he's carrying that load. And that example and how he explained it really helped me to position myself differently, basically.
So then, you know, you were in the middle of your story of having a hard year. Then what happened around the New Year's time, I think? What?
Yeah, so just before the end year ended, we actually got our first breakthrough. So we had one investor who said yes. And that yes was just like, wow, this yes I wanted to hear for so long already. But they said yes. And my wife, who was also praying a lot, of course, for me and for the company, she had an experience as well, whereby she was in the courtrooms of heaven, so before the throne of God, and really felt like God, asking God, is there something, a legitimate claim, which is holding the breakthrough, withholding the breakthrough. And in that throne room, she really felt that God was saying, okay, taking everything away, and now is the time to push forward, and the breakthrough will come, and there's freedom to take that authority. So that really helped as well spiritually, I think. And from then, from the new year, basically, we've seen breakthrough after breakthrough. So doors opening. I'm surprised, still surprised. We're in April now, but still surprised by everything that's happened in these last 3 months, because last year nothing happened. And then just before the end of year, we had one investor. In January, we had investors. Some of them I talked in the morning, in the afternoon they called me and they say, yes, I'm going to do it. Where can I sign? And before that year, I had to talk to them for months and months, and then finally things happened a bit. So this year has been quite crazy. So we raised more than we expected. And also doors opened in Kenya with suppliers that are actually now pushing us forward. So before we had to pull them, like, can we do business with you? Can we do this? Can we do that? And now we have these large distributors just coming to us and saying, we want to do more. We used your product, but we want to scale it to all our customers. It's really working well for us. So how can we scale this more? So they're pushing us actually to go faster and higher. So it's a complete new season. And I'm still surprised every day of what's happening. Last week I was in Kenya and we went to an award ceremony and we actually won 3 awards. And one was the best, most inclusive digital lender in Kenya. So that really, that really was for me recognition, like, this is what we want to do. We want to make an impact. We want to be inclusive for all these small entrepreneurs. And now we've been elected to be the most inclusive digital lender in Kenya. So that was another door. Like, you go to that gala where there are these awards and you think maybe we win something, but then going home with 3 awards was just overwhelming. Yeah,
I'm kind of quiet, Bill. You too. What are you thinking?
I'm just trying to put myself in the position of our listeners and wondering how many of them wish that they had someone like Walter's wife praying for breakthrough. And I know that those concepts for some of us are still kind of new. And so I just would love to hear Walter encourage people, if the Lord is leading you into something that spiritually is new territory for you, like the courtrooms of heaven, we just want to encourage you to lean into that and ask God to show you if there's something to that for you individually. Just be willing to let him open that door and teach you what that's about, because that sounds like a real hinge point in Walter's story. And you know, many of us have people like that in our lives who are a little bit different than the normal Christian view, but they have had played really key roles from time to time in our, particularly in our companies. And I just kind of want to honor that.
Yes, and it's good that you bring that up, Bill, because I have a friend who actually wrote about courtrooms of heaven, you know, and it was like a new concept for me too. Yeah, Walter, why don't you, can you explain something of that? What that means, and maybe we can put a link in the text for people if they want to read more about it.
Yeah, so you should actually invite my wife to tell more about this. She can tell more. But yes. There's this book by Robert Henderson, which is called The Courtrooms of Heaven. And he's explaining very clearly how this concept indeed of God being a judge, we see him often at times as father or savior or all these things, but as judge is some concept we, at least I was not very familiar with. So he explains very well that there is a throne room and there is a judge and he is actually judging and there is someone there day and night making like these accusations against the saints, which it says in Revelations. So there's someone, the devil is constantly making these accusations against us. So coming in that courtroom and yeah, taking our position through the blood of the Lamb and knowing that we are actually not condemned even by all those things that come against us. But sometimes there are legitimate things because we have given legitimate grounds to the devil to make those accusations. So taking those legitimate grounds away then oftentimes give that breakthrough that we want to see. So that's a very small summary. It's a lot of context, of course, but the book of Robert Henderson is a good one.
I will surely put a link in the text. And for our listeners who are like, okay, this is a new thing. Bill, is that I've heard you talking about mailboxes, you know, our minds, you know, that we sometimes, is this one of those mailboxes that you mentioned in, you know, this is for the listeners who have listen to a bit more podcast. Otherwise, it's going to be a new idea. But yeah.
It is, Gaia. I was just using that illustration when the Lord kind of rebuked me that my worldview was similar to the old-fashioned wooden mailbox system, but I was losing or missing about 30% of my mailboxes. And the mailbox represents just a category of thinking. That now I can, if I accept that category of thinking, then he can give me verses from scripture. I'll see them when I hadn't seen them before. Now I can manage, I can understand testimonies. And all of those things kind of come together to help me create an understanding. But unless you have the mailbox, unless you have the basic category, accept that this is a category of something there, and we need to be willing to learn about it, we're not going to make any progress. So yeah, I had to open up that new category and be willing to be taught by the Lord and by some of my friends that there's a lot that I don't know yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, this we already, you know, over our 30 minutes, but it's been so worthwhile. I couldn't stop, you know. <it's>, So is there some final thoughts for our listeners?
I have a question before I turn over to Walter, even though we're stretching it. Have other countries seen the value of what the Lord has given to you, and are they beginning to want to use it outside of Africa?
So yeah, we have got some requests from other countries, currently in Africa mostly, and we aim to start scaling up to other countries next year, 2026.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. That doesn't surprise me at all.
Because what you also mentioned in our pre-talk, and I don't think it's, you know, it might sound like, hey, this is, and it is, you know, for the individual shop owner, a real, you know, that they can grow and that they can have another shop and, you know, more people can get work. But you also mentioned that it's bringing trust back in the economy. So it's not only on a small scale, but it's, you know, when more and more people start working with it, it can be a major influence, right?
Absolutely. That's where we're in for it. Yeah. So we really believe that it's going to be an impact on those individual lives, but much more even on the greater economy and the greater society. If people start trusting us because of our system now, but start trusting each other again and doing business with each other on a complete different level, that will just open up a lot more economic growth. So we envision that, and that's where we go for.
Well, it's been very inspiring, stimulating for me, at least, and I learned a lot. And Thank you very much, Walter. And I'm kind of like, let's pray before we end this podcast. Who wants to volunteer? Walter, yeah, you want to volunteer? I'm volunteering you.
Sure. Yes. Well, so thanks God for your availability. Thanks that you're involved in our lives, that you talk with us, that you lead us, that you teach us constantly new things as well. And we're so grateful for everything that you're doing, for the breakthroughs that you're giving. And I want to pray for everybody who's listening to this podcast as well. I pray for each and every individual life, the situation that they're in. You know that situation. I pray that you will just come into that situation, give breakthrough, give insight, give revelation of what's happening in the spiritual realm as well, and really open up doors for those people who are listening in their companies, in their businesses, to grow even further than that they would have expected and go beyond what they would have envisioned. So I pray that you will do that in the name of Jesus.
And grow in enduring faith. And Bill, do you want to add to this prayer?
Oh, it's hard to add to that one. I just pray that Walter's tribe increases and that the Lord just expands his influence and continues to just bring the values of the kingdom into everything he's doing.
Amen.
Amen.
Well,
amen.
It's good to get to know this kid, teenager who was in our church, Walter. That's one of the privileges I have, you know, of asking all these questions and learning about lots of people and meeting such inspiring people like you. So thank you. Thank you for who you are and for your walk and for your availability to the Lord.
Thanks for the opportunity to share and for organizing this. Thanks a lot.
This has been a true joy.
Okay. Well, listeners, till the next time.
This was Gea Goort from the Netherlands. Remember to visit bamoos.com and check out the course on kingdom mindsets for business, life and work. And in 2 weeks' time, we will be back with another episode. Follow us in your favorite podcast app so you won't miss the next one.